right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't start
that when this is?
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. It's been a while.
I know. We actually we ran into technical difficulties the week before Christmas.
I was like, no, we didn't. But yes, we absolutely did. That's
absolutely the truth.
The technical difficulties were something akin to I pushed the on button.
But nothing
I heard
came,
a psst. Yeah,
nothing came on.
and that was it.
It was just kind of pushing the buttons.
Yes, yes. No lights.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Yes.
But, however, new year, new things happening. We're back.
Know, and people asking. Coming back. Guys, yeah, actually doing a show.
No, what are you all? Corn boy? Relax.
No. He did not pester us this time.
I know. Do you know why?
He was patient.
Maybe we should name this episode Relax Everybody, Here It Is.
Relax Everybody, Here It Is. So...
Well, we're not, though. This is actually Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 214, Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss.
As you can clearly
tell by our music opening us up this week. The wonderful Who, of course.
Yes.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Might as well get right into it.
Let's get right into it.
You've named it, so let's do it.
Joe Quesada.
Is hurt.
No.
I don't want to say dead.
No.
That might get us in trouble.
Joe Quesada...
was fired.
Hasn't been fired.
Damn.
He is the chief creative officer of Marvel...
Is that his title?
Marvel Comics or Entertainment, yes, sir.
CCO?
The CCO. And he has now named Alex Alonso as
Axel?
The...
Axel? Alex?
It's Axel. Isn't it Axel?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's Axel.
I thought it was Axel.
I thought so too, but you said Alex.
It says Alex on this thing that I'm reading. It is Axel. It's Axel Alonso.
Okay.
Morons. Whoever printed this thing out. Fired. All of you are fired.
That's right.
Axel Alonso has been promoted to the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics.
The editor-in-chief?
Yes.
Now, who was the editor-in-chief before?
Joe Quesada.
Okay, so now he's the CEO.
Now, I think
and
they
he was
had...
the CEO.
No,
or
he
EIC?
Was never. He was the EIC.
Okay,
you're getting your letters confused. He was right. EIC, but remember back it was a couple of months ago when Jim Lee and whoever it was over
on
at DC was promoted. Remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And they were promoted, and then like the next day. Joe had been promoted to chief creative officer.
Oh, that's right.
I think
that was also after the Disney Marvel announcement.
Yeah. Right. And so I guess they've taken time to transition Axel into the full EIC role.
Right.
Which means absolutely nothing. And everyone's making a big deal out of this. Right. It means nothing.
Okay.
It means nothing.
Explica
because the
por
buck,
favor.
The buck still stops at Joe.
Right.
You know, if Joe tells Axel to do something, Axel's going to do it.
Okay.
You know, and I don't understand. People are so like, yay, Joe's gone. Joe isn't gone. Joe's now above the EIC. So any decisions, in other words, don't expect that Peter and Mary Jane are going to be married in the next few months.
Right.
You know, those sorts of things. Don't expect that...
From EIC to GOD, is that what's happened here?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. A lot of people have said so many things about Joe Quesada being in charge. The one that comes to mind right away, of course, is that Bob Wayne, who we know, friend of the show, Bob
sure.
Wayne, over at DC, who I actually saw at Pee Wee Herman's last time I saw him. He and his wife were at the Pee Wee Herman show when I was there.
Nice.
Bob Wayne said there would never be a DC Marvel crossover until Joe Quesada was gone. So does that mean, you know, Joe's not gone, but he's not EIC. Does that open up the door for that? I say no.
Can I comment on that though?
Sure.
I'm okay with no DC Marvel crossover.
So am I.
I don't think that's a road we need to walk down.
Absolutely not. No need for it at all. I didn't like really the last bunch.
I mean, maybe with the exception of Dark Claw.
Yeah, exactly. The amalgam.
The amalgam books.
The only amalgam character to amount to anything was Darkclaw. And it would be nice to see something, but that's not going to happen. Other stuff like, you know, Mark Millar said he would never work with DC as long as Joe is in charge.
Okay, well.
Well, you know, as long as he worked for Joe or Joe was EIC. Well, so does that mean Mark Millar can now write for DC?
I doubt it.
I just don't see any... This is not a big deal, folks.
Well, what do we know about Axel Alonso? Anything good? I mean, at least does he have anything that we know him from? Does he have a good... does he have a strong
the only
head
thing,
on his shoulders?
The only
does he bring
thing,
anything else worse to the table?
No. What he's one of Joe's foot people.
Oh, okay. So
I think he's very much the same sort of content... kind of guy as Joe is, you know, more adult, real world comic book characters, you know, that kind of thing.
So this is Marvel's big announcement this week. And wasn't DC's announcement this week the finalizing of the price changes? Didn't that go into effect this week?
Was that this week?
I think that was this week.
I don't know.
The point being is that it's almost a non-news point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unless there's a huge significant change, which you're hearing us predict that there will not be, then it's a non-news point.
The only other thing about Axel Alonso, of course, is that he really built the bulk of his career at DC.
Right.
And then went over to Marvel and kind of forgot his DC roots,
but
so
yeah,
to speak.
But if he forgot it. Okay, well, there's a couple things there. A, if he forgot his DC roots, then it's a moot point.
Right.
And B, you know, DC is still kind of, in some ways, walking dangerously down a line of catch up with Marvel
right.
in some aspects. And we've talked about that on the show before. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a certain amount of naivete that goes into hoping that there's going to be a big change.
The only other thing about Axel Alonso, I think, that bears mentioning is the fact that he was one of the guys who, when Marvel and DC met to discuss the fact that Marvel was leaving the comics code.
Right.
He was one of the guys at that meeting who was an ex DC employee, who came to that meeting to kind of, who was then a Marvel employee who was formerly a DC employee who went to that meeting, I think, to kind of rub DC's nose in it. Okay. A little. So, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for Alex Alonso.
Axel Alonso. Whatever his name is.
That's Axel. Axel Alonso. I don't really have a lot of respect for him. I've never been really a big fan of him. So this doesn't really change. As far as this program is concerned, it's still Joe Quesada. Joe's right. The chief creative officer, which means they're not going to do nothing without Joe's approval, which means Joe is still in charge. Titles be damned. It's the same thing I said when he got that title back when they had to hop on the DC bandwagon. And, you know, that was pretty much that. So that's my word on this subject.
All right.
I think it's just like the other announcement. It means really pretty much nothing.
All right. Well, why don't we stick with Marvel-related news then? Except okay. We'll move into the movie world of Marvel-related news.
All right.
How about we talk a little bit about Thor and a Hawkeye cameo?
Uh-huh.
So somewhere at the end of Thor, apparently.
Imagine if you will.
There's going to be a Hawkeye cameo. This is important. I think this is a good thing. Only because it ties it in. I think it ties it into Cap. Because Hawkeye is going to be in Cap, I believe, as well.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I don't think so, sir.
Well, because talking about Cap,
okay.
Right? The plot spoilers that were leaked online today, although they're not really plot spoilers, is that the bulk of the movie takes place in the 30s and 40s.
But not the whole thing,
except
now?
The opening of the movie and the end of the movie are present day. Now, I don't know how long those sequences are. They could be very short sequences.
Right.
But somewhere in there, we had heard previously that Hawkeye was going to make some sort of cameo. So... And since Samuel L. Jackson isn't in Thor,
that we know of,
well, I think we heard while we were away,
right?
In news that happened while we were away, I'm pretty positive they announced that Samuel L. Jackson not in Thor.
Okay,
so you need some sort of tie. So maybe Renner is going to be Hawkeye is going to be the tie to bringing Thor into the Avengers initiative.
It's possible.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe that's the Linky.
Okay.
Mick Linkerson. So that's the Thor news. And the Cap news, they said that these were considered plot spoilers, except that I think we knew that bit about...
The beginning and end?
Yeah, the beginning and end a little bit already.
I think it's going to spoil the movie, so that much is certain.
We also knew that Howard Stark was going to be in it already and would eventually be the one responsible for creating Cap's shield. I don't think that was much of a big
kind of got that from part
noise.
Two, didn't we?
Yeah. So
or Iron Man 2, rather.
You know, I think that's pretty much it.
Meh.
So there you go. How about Red Dawn news?
That's back on?
Well, after it being shit-canned when MGM went belly up, or so we thought. You know, MGM is getting its groove back. It's got some financial backing. Bond is moving forward. Hobbit is moving forward.
Right.
Apparently, Red Dawn is moving forward and has a 2011, sometime in 2011, possible release date. Now, I guess it was done. It was all but done. I think all the filming was pretty much done because what leaked online today or what I saw online today was a cast photo.
Oh. Anyone in it that we know?
Chris Hemsworth is in it. So, yes, I would say so. Thor?
Oh, he's in it?
So yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, it's Chris Hemsworth, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is
comedian. The comedian, right? Adrian Palicki. I don't know who that is.
Name's familiar.
Josh Hutcherson, who I know that name too, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Isabel Lucas, Joshua Peck, Brett Cullen, Matt Gerald, and directed by Dan Bradley.
Probably all people we know.
So, yeah. So there you go.
By face, I mean, rather than name.
Yes, yes. All right, Muppets movie. Got a date now for actual release, you know, which means it's actually happening.
The greatest Muppet movie ever made.
That is the title. And we're looking at Thanksgiving 2011.
Okay.
And since we mentioned The Hobbit, how about, did we mention
Rather
that Orlando Bloom and the character of Legolas was going to have some sort of cameo in one of the two Hobbit films? Or at least one of the two Hobbit
films? I
think
we had speculated that that might, there was some sort of rumor that they were trying to reach Orlando Bloom on that account.
Well, I think that has now been confirmed.
Okay.
But you know, everything around this movie is still so secretive. So it's, you know, I think it's been confirmed on the rumor bill, but Peter Jackson hasn't said as much.
I hear that. I hear that. What's his name is coming back as Gandalf.
Oh, yeah. Is that the rumor that you're hearing?
Did we hear Elrond? Did we hear, has that been confirmed? Was that confirmed ever?
Yes, I think that was confirmed. Oh, okay. I think that was definitely confirmed. Also in the rumor mill this week, Barbarella surfaced in the news again.
Again?
And person tied to the project, according to the rumor mill, so that no one crucifies us for reporting something that is an actual fact here on this fine program, Anne Hathaway.
Really? For Barbarella?
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'd go see it.
Well, I know that you would go see it based on its...
I'm going to think about it as soon as we're done.
But is she Barbarella-ish enough?
Sure.
You
Why
think
not?
So? I don't know. Doesn't she have to be a little bit more...
What?
I don't know.
Action-y?
Yeah.
Did you see Get Smart?
Yeah.
Did you see Get Smart? What? That was enough. Know. She doesn't have to be any more action in knee than that.
All right.
Just saying.
All I'm saying is I'm not entirely 100% convinced that if it is in fact true that she is the appropriate person.
I say yes. Scantily clad space chick Anne Hathaway. What's wrong with you?
I know. What's wrong with me? Where could I go wrong?
Nothing to do with story or action sequences. It's all about how hot she is.
Something else that popped online this past week was a picture of Blackbeard's flag.
Okay.
From the new Pirates movie. All right. I don't like it.
What don't you like about it? Besides the fact that it's not Blackbeard's flag.
That's exactly what I don't like about it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not to everybody. Right. But to certainly a lot of the people that I know, Blackbeard's flag is kind of iconic.
Right.
And it's kind of simple, but still strikes fear and authority. And while certainly I could appreciate this as a design as a modern day pirate flag. And I right now, for those of you who are watching on iTunes or QuickTime or perhaps on your portable listening device that allows the pictures.
Right.
You'll be looking at the new flag and the classic flag, so you can, you know, let us know what you think. But
right.
I don't know. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of like a gitchy modern flag.
If you do want to comment on your opinion about the flag, of course, you can give our GVM call a line.
425-920-6050.
And leave your opinion over there, and we'll be glad to check it out. And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
What do you think? I mean, what's your opinion? Do you like the original flag, or do you not care
because
it's Ian McShane and it doesn't matter?
It's Ian McShane and it doesn't matter is certainly a good enough reason.
All right.
But the fact is that, you know they're going to change little stuff like that. It's not historically a movie.
Obviously, it's not historically accurate. The other thing I'm not sure of, I don't know if his ship is going to be the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Okay.
I haven't heard that, but that was his historical ship, right? It was the Queen Anne's Revenge,
so,
his Blackbeard,
yes,
ship.
I believe so.
So, whatever. It's only his flag, and it doesn't actually affect the movie at all. And I'm being nitpicky, but I'm allowed. That's all I'm saying. All right, one more thing in the news world.
Okay.
Toypocalypse.
Yes, Toypocalypse.
Do you know what this is before
before
you act excited?
This is the group show for the Four Horsemen.
That's right. Toypocalypse is a Four Horsemen retrospective presented by TT Underground.
Okay.
This is a show that's going to be taking place February 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And I don't have a website yet for where you can find this information, okay. but I'll post the dates both in the message board and on our website. And if I find a link before this goes up, I'll certainly post that link. But this is going to be at the TT Underground Gallery, which is right next door to Toy Tokyo.
Ah.
You know where Toy Tokyo is. You've been there.
I've actually been at a TT Underground.
Oh, the Ron English show
is
there,
Toy
correct?
Tokyo Underground.
Right, right.
Yes,
so sir. it's 91st 2nd Ave in New York.
Nice space.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear it's a very nice space. So Toypocalypse covers more than a decade of every aspect of toy design, from the initial concept all the way through the finished product, obviously covering the Four Horsemen's huge contribution to our world of toys. I mean, they've worked with most of the big companies, or a handful
That's
of the
true.
Big companies, right? NECA, Mattel, McFarlane, and certainly themselves. They put out stuff on their own.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's a huge show. They've got some exclusive product for the show.
Ooh.
They've got a poster that's going to be signed by the Four Horsemen, as well as the artist Nathan Bartsch.
Ardith.
It's a limited edition poster print, and they also
That's a really cool print.
It's a really nice print.
Yeah.
And the print, it looks like it's kind of a retrospective of a bunch of pieces
right.
that they've done.
Right.
And then also they have a limited edition production run of a variant figure that they have out. It's the black and white Scarabus pieces.
Uh-huh.
And of course, again, pictures of both the print and the figure up in the toy gallery and on your listening device or iTunes if you're watching there. But definitely more information on this show as we get closer. You know, this show takes place Toy Fair weekend.
Ah.
And I believe we're going to be covering this show.
We will be there.
So hopefully we'll have some more information as it gets a little bit closer.
Uh-huh.
But there it is. Toypocalypse.
Nice.
And I think with that, we'll likely take our first break here with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 214. I forget the title here.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
That one. Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hello, this is Pee Wee Herman.
I know you are, but what am I?
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 214, out with the old boss, same as the new boss.
No, you just
damn.
You suck. It is a classic line from a classic band's classic number.
Well, you're the only Who fan still alive.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm the only Who fan still alive. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Before we move forward with the rest of the program, this would be a good opportunity to talk about contests.
Yes.
Of which we have one that's ending.
There are, yes.
And we have one that is extending.
Right.
All right. So the ending one. Back in episode 211, we discussed the Star Wars Visions book.
Correct.
And we put a contest out on the message boards on over at octobertoys.com/forum. And we put a contest out there for you to create a piece of art,
right?
Akin to something you think would appear in a book like Star Wars Visions.
Correct.
And we had several entries
from Coke Logic.
We had several entries from Coke Logic. We had one entry from Wombat Neil, and we had one entry from Geek Letus.
Sure, we had a bunch.
So we had a couple entries.
Sure.
And it's
we also had some sent inappropriately to our personal accounts and not listed on the.
Yeah, but But we have rules for these.
I know. That's why I'm trying to say.
And what we did with those entries is we moved them to the recycle bin. And we clicked on right click, empty recycle bin.
Uh-huh.
And they were deleted.
So you got to
pay
attention.
And it's a shame. There were some decent ones in there.
You can't just send anything you want to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right. And actually, I think we got one entry that was addressed. It was sent to my geekstuffog@gmail.com. It was addressed, "Hey, Kev." Immediately disqualified.
So
yeah, I rule with an iron thumb when it comes to the iron thumb,
and the other four, the other four fingers.
When it comes to these contests, you gotta have rules, otherwise anarchy.
I hear you.
So that
and
being
the winner
said,
is.
I'm gonna allow you to announce it.
We tried desperately to give it to somebody else, but once we saw the visible Boba Fett,
terrible.
The visible Fett by Coke Logic. We had to declare him the winner because that is truly a creative piece.
Not only is it a really creative piece, but I really want a poster of that.
Yes.
For like my room, for
right.
my office.
So, Coke Logic, congratulations. We'll need a high-res printable version of your piece sent to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
And also, please message me. You know how to get a hold of me. Message me your shipping information, and we'll get that book out to you.
Right, and do not message me on Xbox.
Right, exactly. Right. Do not do that. That will not qualify.
Big Kev GS is not an acceptable entry or communication method on the Xbox.
With that being said,
uh-huh.
Congratulations again to Coke Logic, but into the postponed contest.
Yes.
You want to talk about this a little bit?
Yes, our brand new Doctor Who segment featuring 13-year-old Fiona, who will be teaching all of us about Doctor Who products, and so on and so forth, needs a title. We've had a few that are bandied about, but we wanted to hear what you, the listener, might want to call such a segment. And we are extending that contest due to the fact that we lost a week due to technical problems.
Right.
And we're going to extend that contest so you can send your ideas for the Doctor Who segment featuring 13-year-old Fiona to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
You can leave us a voicemail.
You can
post it in the message boards.
Right.
For this contest, entries accepted everywhere.
Not through Xbox.
Not through Xbox.
Not at geekstuffog@gmail.com, and then say, "Hey, Kevin."
Right. That's an automatic disqualification.
You know how he feels about that.
And I would also ask not through Twitter.
And not through Twitter. Right.
So email, voicemail, message boards. Those
GVM line 425-920-6050. That's a very good way to get your entry to us. And
yes.
You may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
You may. And one more thing
before
we move on with the show. We'd like to remind everybody that over on our website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, nestled comfortably on the right-hand side is a donate button.
Yes.
And we appreciate all of your donations.
We do.
And actually, over the holiday break, we got a donation from somebody. So thank you to Brian Jude for your generous donation to the show. We appreciate that. And we encourage all of our listeners to...
Thank you very much for your donations. Your donations go to the upkeep of the program, equipment, and so on and so
Correct.
Forth. We recently needed to use that fund.
We did.
And thus we are back on the air.
Right.
And we just want to bring that to your attention. Now, this is not to be confused with the annual Begathon.
Right. We haven't announced when that's
right.
going to happen.
That will be happening in 2011. I'm not sure. About halfway. So, in 5/6 area there.
Right.
Okay.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
DVDs that came out this week.
Yavoy.
There's only a handful, I guess, that we really should mention. Yeah?
Okay. What do you got?
I have Machete, both the
Machete.
Regular and Blu-ray edition.
Machete.
Out this week, obviously, starring Danny Trejo.
Right.
Loosely based on the trailer that premiered prior to or as part of the Grindhouse movie experience.
Correct. And, it has a huge cast in it. Steven Seagal, Michelle Rodriguez, Robert De Niro, Jessica Alba. I mean, it's a big cast. Directed by Robert Rodriguez, of course. And you're going to want to check it out. It's a good time.
Also out this week on DVD, How about, this isn't a new movie, but it's two releases, El Mariachi Desperado 2-pack and Once Upon a Time
in Mexico.
All out on Blu-ray this week.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Great trilogy.
Yeah.
Obviously, Robert Rodriguez, if you're a fan of his stuff, you're a fan of these movies, definitely worth picking up. I think Blu-ray might qualify for these ones.
I think so. Blu-ray definitely qualified for me for the anniversary edition of Backdraft.
Nice.
Which I picked up on the Blu-ray, has a lot of special features and things, and very effects-heavy movie, so Blu-ray, it's going to do you right by getting that one in Blu-ray.
Also out this week, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 8, the motion comic complete, out on Blu-ray DVD combo.
Ooh.
So for those of you who are Buffy fans and read the graphic novels, perhaps you didn't read the graphic novels and now you want to have that full season on DVD, this is your opportunity for that.
Motion comics, you say?
I like the motion comics. I didn't see
that one either. I got to pick that one up.
And also, the Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends complete set out this week. So if you're a fan of those.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
You can go grab those this week, too. So, there's some good stuff out there.
I'm going to grab that Rocky and Bullwinkle one.
It's a nice-looking set. All right, out of DVDs.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
And into comic books. Why don't we briefly hit maybe one or two titles that came out in the last week or two that we wanted to mention?
You've been sweating this a lot, so why don't you go ahead?
Well, I just wanted to mention, we talk about the... this can backtrack briefly into the Guild, but or DVDs rather. We talk about the Guild a lot on this show. The newest season of the Guild is available now on Amazon for purchase. So if you haven't picked that up yet, it just came out a week or two ago. You can go pick that up exclusive to Amazon, I believe, for right now. But also last week was the Vork one-shot. So if you want to pick that up, it's kind of like a prequel story to the character of Vork from the Guild. It's really funny. It's definitely some good insight. And there it is. Yes?
I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mention her.
I was lost in thought.
No, I didn't mention her.
I know.
Can we move on?
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay, sorry.
Did you want to mention the Batman book that came out last week, too, that we're actually mildly excited about?
Oh, it was the David Finch book?
Yeah, Dark Knight, right?
Dark Knight, yeah, that came out. It's a brand new ongoing Batman book. David Finch is a hell of an artist, so check that book out. And speaking of Batman this week,
okay,
a brand new first issue of an ongoing comic, Batman Beyond.
Oh, right, yes.
Comes out this week. Now, they did do a miniseries.
Yes.
Several months back, which I don't know has been collected yet or not, but they have now expanded this into an ongoing title.
Correct.
Yes.
I wanted to put out there that I'm not exactly sure where you get it. It might be through DC's website directly.
Okay.
But also released today in conjunction with that book
was
the digital version of that book.
Oh, is that right?
Of course, some of the major complaints that I'm seeing online is that the digital version is the same exact price as the actual book version.
Or well, what would it be?
I think people are thinking that there should be a reduction in price for the digital version.
Oh, since
you don't really get to,
right?
I mean, I guess theoretically you keep it, but much like, you know, maybe you buy an album at Best Buy, a CD at Best Buy,
right,
for 15, you get it on iTunes for 10,
right?
Maybe even if it's 50 cents or a dollar off for the digital download, I can understand there that being a legitimate complaint.
Well, it's an interesting complaint. This book, Batman Beyond number one, had an alternate cover, which I actually purchased. And, you know, I don't usually purchase the alternate covers. But this one was by show friend Darwin Cook.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And I actually did not like the regular cover, I have to say.
Well, poo on you.
DC's doing this thing. Maybe it's just for like the first of the year, but they're doing these sort of simplified white covers, just the logo and sort of the main character or characters of the book.
Okay.
On it. And while I can appreciate what they're doing, I just didn't like the Batman Beyond one. I probably, you know.
So which one is that there that you have?
This is the Darwin Cook.
No, I know, but what is the one that you held up in front of me?
Well, I'm getting to that, so would be Doom Patrol,
oh, right,
number
DP.
18.
I see it now.
And check that out. That also came out this week. And, of course, OG, you're going to be very excited about a pair of Green Hornet books.
Wow, I'm going to go take a nap now.
Green Hornet number 12 and Green Hornet Blood Ties number 3, both from Dynamite Entertainment. This book still going. I'm still enjoying it, sir.
You know, over Christmas, I was having a conversation with someone, and he was trying to convince me that perhaps I should give some of the Green Hornet a read.
Who?
And who
is this person?
This would be Al. He's a friend of the show.
Okay.
I said maybe I would give the Kevin Smith ones a read.
Okay.
That's what I said. I said when they get collected,
which they have
in their entirety.
Uh-huh.
Are they collecting in their entirety? Or was
in their
part
entirety?
Of it?
Yeah. No,
so,
it's...
but what I mean is when all three volumes are out and available,
okay,
I'll go and scoop them at once and have a long weekend with Kevin Smith and the Green Hornet.
Gotcha.
But until then.
Bet you like that, wouldn't you? Long weekend with Kevin Smith and the Green Hornet.
You know me. But until then, my embargo on Green Hornet
continues.
Books is in place.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Right into product.
Yes, sir. We're going to focus pretty much on one sort of license, if you will, but I just wanted to insert this really quick. It's the Batman Black and White Arkham Asylum statue.
Nice.
Sculpted by Dave Cortez, based on the art of whoever did the art for Batman Arkham Asylum.
I am mildly excited by this piece.
Okay,
and I say
why?
That because I liked Arkham Asylum. I like the character designs.
Uh-huh.
Game was fantastic. I haven't really been collecting the black and white statues, so that's why it's only mild excitement. The reason that there was some excitement is because I think that this signifies, if I remember correctly, when I was looking at release dates at last year's Toy Fair, that this signifies that the Arkham Asylum figures are probably not too far off.
Yes, that's true.
I believe
true.
This was a couple of months before.
Right, I think they
so,
are coming.
So I am interested in those figures, so there you go.
Based on the most critically acclaimed superhero game ever.
It was amazing. And the sequel, coming. There's already a trailer out.
Right.
Arkham City, I think, is the working title, but someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that, to the sequel as well.
So this piece, limited edition of 5,000.
That's not limited.
I think that's, I mean, it's sort of limited.
That's not limited.
I still say like 2,500 is your kind of.
That's what I mean.
Maxing it out
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. Anything 2,501 is not limited. That's, you understand what I'm saying?
And yeah, so there it is. Going to run you, whatever these run. They usually run about $80, something like that.
Yeah.
And terrific piece if you're collecting the Batman Black and Whites. It's a terrific piece to add to your collection. We have a big collection of them here in Studio A.
We do have a big collection of them here in Studio
they're
A.
They're very exciting, and we love them, so check that one out. And actually, OG, I'd like to take a break before we get into the last segment.
Okay.
Special expanded third segment.
Wow.
So we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 214. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Ooh, the lolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, the king of cult films, live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 214. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We kind of teased this, and this would have been the big showstopper segment of the end of the year.
Right.
Tron Legacy has come out.
It has come out, and it's kicking ass and taking names.
And not only that, sir, but a bevy of Tron products, which we're going to talk about as well. Let's talk about the film really briefly. Now, you and I both went to the midnight premiere.
Right.
Which we hosted.
We did.
And how did we feel about the movie?
Well, I know how I felt about the movie.
I'll take that.
I liked the movie. I don't think that it was perfect. I think that it definitely suffered a little bit in certain aspects. Mm-hmm. But overall...
Pacing, I think, was one.
I think pacing is the big problem.
Right.
Okay. And then there were like one or two small... You could probably even say that I'm being nitpicky with those things.
You have been known to be nitpicky.
Sometimes, on occasion.
In this episode.
On occasion. But I thought it was great. I mean, I thought as a follow-up to the original, it was great. I thought as far as moving the story forward and into the future...
certainly a wide-open ending.
Certainly a wide-open ending. I think it's like less than $40 million right now from breaking even.
Uh-huh.
But it hasn't opened internationally fully yet.
Right.
Which means that it not only will break even, but will turn probably a nice hefty profit. And there's already been talks about another one.
Has there?
Yeah, it was teased. Oh. It was teased a bit. Of course, there's no official announcement yet, but I think the anticipation is that if it does well, certainly it would be appropriate.
Well, I agree with most of what you said. I'm going to talk briefly about the visual aspect of the film. I think it was stunning.
Okay.
Stunning in that regard, how they took the original film's concepts and brought them into the modern age, if you will, and the effects and everything was just fantastic. Have to say, though, the young Jeff Bridges...
Creepy.
A little creepy.
Yeah.
A little bit creepy. A little plastic. A little creepy.
Worked for Clue.
Oh, it did. It worked. I thought it worked on both ends, really. But I thought it was still just a little tiny bit creepy.
Well, it was kind of logical for Clue.
Right.
You know, Clue was actually a construct.
Uh-huh.
So it worked. Although, you know, no one else really looked like that. But still, it worked for Clue.
Right. And the whole, the whole appearance or lack of the character Tron in the movie called Tron Legacy was interesting.
Do we have to drop a spoiler alert?
No,
here?
I don't think we need to mention what occurred at this time,
right.
Except to say that.
But we're talking about the movie.
Well, I know, but I don't want to drop that bomb. What if no one's seen it?
Someone has seen it.
Well,
people
okay.
are talking about it on the message boards already.
So essentially, then we'll play this.
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
And we'll say that Tron is apparently reprogrammed by Clue and becomes a character called Rinzler.
Correct.
And Rinzler is a complete security badass.
Badass.
No doubt. And of course, you don't know that Tron is Rinzler until much further in the movie and so on. And at the end, it seems like Rinzler reverts back to being Tron, but is kind of falling into a hole.
Doesn't he do something to help Sam at one point in time? I believe he does something, and it's pretty obvious. And then, he kind of just...
Yeah,
kind of just
he's falling and he turns back blue where formerly he was the red or evil colors,
or
as we know,
or whatever.
As we know in all movies, blues and greens are good and reds and oranges are evil.
Right.
So, especially in the Tron universe.
I was disappointed in the lack of Tron and the lack of closure for the character Tron.
Right.
Certainly, I don't think that Tron is dead. And I think that if there is a sequel to Tron, that the likelihood that Tron is back in Tron is good. It's a good possibility.
Right.
That being said, I don't know. I needed something else.
Let's talk about... Now, we talked about the comic book prequel to this movie.
We did.
Was that called Evolution?
It was no, called it was something, Betrayal.
Betrayal.
Tron Betrayal.
Right. We did talk about that. Evolution is actually the name of the video game.
That's correct.
The one that's for Xbox and PS3. There is one for the Wii, but I think it has a different name entirely.
Okay.
And this one is a prequel to the movie where you play a monitoring security type program who works under Tron, and you get to traverse the Tron universe and doing all sorts of incredible things.
Now, are you under Tron or are you under Rinsler?
You're under Tron. This predates the Rinsler
transformation. Okay, so this predates the change. Okay.
Clue has not taken over yet, it seems.
Okay.
It's sort of that evolution, or sort of revolution point, I think, where Clue takes over.
Okay, okay.
At least that's the impression I'm getting. And it's absolutely fantastic. I have to say the controls are a bit convoluted in the game. Otherwise, I really like it. Visually, it's spectacular. Play-wise, you're really enjoying it and you're really involved in it. I actually picked up a special Tron controller.
I've seen that.
That lights up blue.
Right.
There was a Clue one that lights up yellow. They made 250 of them. You could pick one up on eBay for about $200.
Super duper limited edition.
Yeah, that is a limited edition.
Right.
No doubt. So you could check out that video game. If you're a fan of Tron, you're going to have fun with this game, I think. Again, visually, it's spectacular. Gameplay is pretty good. Controls are a bit wonky, but I think once you get used to them, they're all right. A lot of jumping and, you know, a lot of... In the single player game, I'd say there's more jumping and moving about and how to get from place to place rather than combat.
Okay.
Which, but there is an online version and a sort of game grid version where you can go and do combat. So
okay.
There's plenty of that available. Let's talk about some Tron products.
Let's do that.
Let's open, of course, with our friends over at the Tonner Doll Company, Tonner
right.
Character Figures. We're going to have some sad news about Tonner very soon.
Really?
Yeah, we are. But I'm not going to say what it is now.
Okay.
Very sad news. But in any event, as I try to pry the... What happened to Tonner boxes that they can't be opened anymore?
I've never been able to easily open a Tonner box. They swell in shipment somehow.
In conjunction with the brand new Tron film... Tonner has done a Kevin Flynn from the original movie.
Right.
Action figure. Now, we've talked about this when we previewed it. We talked about it on some video pieces and so on and so forth. It's Kevin Flynn in the original Tron costume. Comes with the discs, the boots, the arms, the whole thing. Everything from Tonner that you expect to get in a 16-inch fully posable figure. Absolutely spectacularly done, I thought. What do you think, OG?
Yeah, I like the classic feel of the helmet. I like the classic identity disc.
Right.
You know, and it's a Tron piece. I think the likeness is...
You know, it's a little tough to get bridges. Apparently, it's a little tough to get bridges in that era.
In that era.
It's kind of spot on because they couldn't even do it in the movie. But it's okay, though. I mean, I think as a collector's piece from that film, you're not going to probably do much better than this.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly as a Tron fan, it's a nice piece. I am one of the few people who like the white.
The white?
The white costume, as opposed to how come it's not light blue, it's not blue.
Yeah, everybody is kind of going on and on about how this is white. Those costumes were white, folks.
They
lit up in the sort of light up areas, but the parts that weren't lit up were sort of picking up the colors around them.
Right.
And if you don't know that, you need to watch that movie again. I suggest going on eBay and paying $75 for the DVD version of the movie.
Well, I think that the reason is because almost every other time you've seen any other classic Tron piece, whether it be...
I noticed you're looking at
that you have.
The Studio A. That was from Disney. What would they call it? The Big Figures?
The Disney Big Figs. That's
right.
The Tron Big Fig.
Uh-huh.
Even if you've seen like the Mickey vinyl Tron piece.
Always done in a light blue.
It's always done in a light blue.
Right.
Because that's probably the color that's
associated.
Picked up and associated with most. However, technically speaking,
it was white.
White is the appropriate color. Yeah. So I'm okay with that. Plus, I think it's nice to finally have that representation.
Right.
Since you've never really had it before, it kind of makes it a little unique. So, right. So I'm okay with that.
And of course, the original figures in 1982 from Tomy were clear colored plastic.
Right, right, yeah.
With sort of the parts that lit up were painted on.
Were painted like with like a frosted white almost.
They were, well, not white. They were colored depending on what the color was.
I guess.
Like Tron was purple.
Right, yeah.
He was purple plastic with like blue lights. Flynn was blue with like a lighter blue light.
What was the two we saw at that toy show over the weekend? There was the red piece.
There was
Was it a Sentry?
And there was also Sark.
It was Sark, yeah.
Who were both red with orange highlights.
Right, right.
Those are great. They were reissued by NECA when about turn of the century, I guess.
Okay.
So about 10 years ago now. And you could probably still get those. I'm sure they've jolted up in price since announcement of this movie. Speaking of figures, let's talk about Spin Master.
Spin Master, who apparently is putting out Tron everything.
Yeah, pretty much they have got the master toy license for Tron. And they've put out 3 3/4. Second wave is hitting right about now. We talked about the first wave already, but let's talk about the second wave. Let's talk about them all. So far out in 3 3/4, it's Sam Flynn.
Right.
Clue.
Right.
Rinsler.
Right.
Blackguard.
Right.
Was series one.
Okay.
And Kevin Flynn.
But
Kevin was in the white, in the
old man Jedi robe.
Yes, right, correct. That was series one. Series two consists of Jarvis.
Okay.
Korra.
Okay.
And Castor.
Okay. Now Castor was actually Zeus.
Right.
But it was Castor.
Right.
Correct? Okay. I just want to make sure I get that. So there's that piece.
Jarvis was Clue's right-hand man.
Clue's right-hand man, who will be talking about him soon.
Oh.
We'll talk about the cape in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then there's the Korra piece.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the Korra piece.
Yes, I know that you would. And I have the same problem, and that is they've done Korra with her helmet on.
Now, was the Sam piece with the helmet on, or was it helmet off?
No, Sam piece had a helmet on, but it was kind of had the shield in front of it so you could see the face.
Right.
Clue had a full helmet. You couldn't see the face. Jarvis has sort of the same thing as Sam with sort of a half helmet face on.
I like these pieces.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the helmets.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the design of the helmets. I'd much rather they were removable helmets. God knows it's not hard to make a 3 3/4 figure with a removable helmet.
Yeah, but not a removable helmet, sir, but a swappable head.
Well, a removable helmet would work. I mean, think of all the troopers you have that are 3 3/4 that have removable helmets.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's certainly possible.
It's true.
The reason is because with a few exceptions, accessory exceptions, in the case of Clue, the bust exception, anatomical exceptions, the characters are really kind of very much the same.
Yeah, they are kind of very similar.
The helmet is a little too generic. And I like these figures. I think they're really nice, but I really think you needed to have the faces. Even if you can't get the likeness. Even if you can't get the likeness. I think that you need to have the faces of the characters and not just the helmet, especially because Korra appears in the helmet, what, for 3 minutes in the movie?
Yeah, maybe.
And then she's unhelmeted the rest of the movie?
Yeah, I don't understand why they've gone with the helmeted choice, unless, of course, it's a likeness issue.
It may well be. It's either a likeness issue, although that's never really stopped people from putting out figures that don't look like the people before, or it's a cost issue.
Well, maybe
the helmet is probably an easier tool than the.
That's possible,
and it's reusable.
Castor has a head.
Castor does have a head,
and Jarvis has a head.
Right.
So if it was a cost issue, they weren't saving any costs there. There's also been some vehicles out. It's Sam's light cycle, Clue's light cycle, and the
Kevin's light cycle, right?
And the light car.
Wasn't Kevin's cycle out there?
Yes, the Kevin's,
white one?
Yes, the Kevin one. Kevin Flynn's sort of retro cycle.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of half old, half new.
Half new, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hybrid.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So there's vehicles to choose from as well. There's a full die-cast set up. But
right.
Before we get into that, let's talk about the 6-inch. We talked about them when we first got them and about how Clue and Sam had the sort of electronic faces.
That moved?
That moved. They were really neat. And I was really looking forward to seeing what sort of things. And all the figures, 6 3/4, have light-up features.
Right.
Which are very cool.
And bright. I'm surprised at how bright
yeah.
they are.
Yeah, well, you know, LEDs, sir.
I know.
All of them have some sort of light-up features, which is very cool. I was really looking forward to seeing what they were going to do with a Series 2 in the 6-inch or 7-inch or whatever it is.
And?
I haven't heard anything
well,
about
what's in Series that 6-inch line? It's Clue.
It's Sam and Clue. Rinsler and a black guard.
And a black guard. Right.
Right.
Now,
so there was no Clue
Rinsler
Sentry.
Rinsler and the black guard don't have the light up face. Is that correct?
They do not.
They have the light up chest.
Correct.
Okay.
They have light up features right in the chest area and so on. Kevin Flynn has a light up sort of bar on his coat, the 3 3/4 one.
Right.
And we didn't mention Clue Sentry before as the other 3 3/4
right.
figure in the line. So there's no 6-inch. So a Series 2 could have been. You know, unless something's happening. I haven't heard about it, but they could do Kevin Flynn in 6-inch.
Right.
They could do Korra in 6-inch.
Absolutely.
With no helmet on. They could do Clue Sentry.
Absolutely.
In 6-inch. They could do Jarvis.
Absolutely.
They could do Caster. I mean, you have a
Absolutely.
Full amount of characters you could do in a second wave in 6-inch. I haven't heard any, or 7-inch, whatever it is. I haven't heard anything about them at all.
Sure.
What did get a second wave... Again, before we go on to the before we go on to the diecast, is the identity discs
right?
So this is kind of it's a role play product. It's it has lights and sound. We actually talked about this way back on an XM show
quite a while back. We talked about Sam's.
We talked about Sam's, right? It lights up. It has sounds. It has all sorts of effects. It's really really cool. But now in Series 2, you also get Rinsler's identity disc and Kevin Flynn. Now, I haven't seen Clue, so I don't know if there's going to be a Clue identity disc or not. But the Rinsler disc, of course, is a very cool one to have once you know who Rinsler is. And Kevin Flynn, of course, his is white with light-up features. Very cool. And also rounding out...
Hold on.
Yes?
I have a complaint.
Okay.
About Rinsler's disc.
I know that it's only one disc.
Why doesn't it split?
Because it doesn't split.
But it splits in the movie.
Just deal with it.
If
they
you're
took...
role-playing Rinsler, you,
you
got to
buy
have two,
two discs. You buy two discs.
Balls. Balls.
Lazy. The other two things rounding out the Spin Master Tron Legacy line, of course, is their full die-cast
right.
Line. It's got to be a dozen vehicles at least, light cycles, recognizers, and so on and so forth. Also, big recognizer playset slash
carrying
case.
Yeah.
Also for the 3 3/4 figures. This one I wanted to mention, it's the baton launcher, which is actually the baton is what you use to create a lightsaber. I'm sorry, a light cycle.
Yeah.
In the Tron world, and what they've done is they've taken that design and they've put one of the die-cast Sam light cycles in it, and you sort of can shoot it out of it.
Right.
But really, as a role play piece, it's very cool.
You
to
want
have
the baton?
The baton,
sure.
Yeah, which is that's really cool. And it says that's a Target only exclusive.
Ooh.
But I saw them in the
I've
Disney
seen them
store.
I was gonna say.
So I'm not sure about that. Yes, and I should say you can purchase. All of these pieces at the Disney Store or online at thedisneystore.com, I think it is. And there's also a limited edition sort of mini figures. They're not really action figures. They're kind of PVC,
okay.
action scene kind of things that are.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're also Target exclusives.
I know
that it's just kind of moments in the film, like two characters fighting or Sam activating his light cycle.
Right.
It's just kind of a frozen little PVC. Those are very nice.
PVC
too,
diorama.
Right. And still upcoming, of course, in the Tron Legacy world is Several things. There's a bust of Kevin Flynn from the first movie.
Correct.
And I'm not sure who's doing that one, but from Electric Tiki, there is a full Tron piece.
Right.
Coming from the first movie. From Medicom, or Hot Toys, one of them, somebody import, is doing a 12-inch Kevin Flynn with both the white outfit and the black outfit, for those of you that have seen the film.
Okay.
So, of course, only one head, so you can't sneak in two figures there unless somebody cracks one and puts the head up for sale on eBay, which is entirely possible. So there's those. Also, there is a 12-inch Sam Flynn and Light Cycle coming from Medicom or one of those companies. That is pretty amazing. It lights up. It has sounds. The bike and the figure, I think, both. So that piece is incredible. That one's going to run you about $300.
Ooh, ouch.
That's pretty, yeah. But, sir, it's a whole vehicle. It's in 12-inch scale. So just saying, sir, it's a nice item.
I understand.
Also, the guys that did the soundtrack, Daft Punk.
Oh, that's right. The Hot Toys.
Right, there are two Hot Toy versions of those two guys coming as well in 12-inch, and they are rather expensive. So, as well as there's Kubrick's and other things.
Oh, there's a plethora.
Yeah, there's a ton of Tron stuff. We've just sort of scratched the surface of the Tron stuff. The Spin Master stuff is really great, really affordable stuff, and you can find it in most locations. Of course, you're going to want to go over to Tonnerdoll.com to check out the Kevin Flynn and find out where you can get one of those if they're still available. And, yeah, and look for Tron. I don't think Tron's going away.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I thought it might, but
nope,
I think it's holding on. And there's the... wrap up music, sir. So perhaps we should just roll right into that. This week we talked about Axel Alonso's appointment as Marvel's editor in chief, which means really nothing.
Hawkeye in Thor, Cap plot spoilers that really aren't spoilers, and Red Dawn still moving forward. Also, Anne Hathaway as a possible Barbarella, Legolas appearing in The Hobbit, and Toypocalypse. Don't forget Toypocalypse, obviously, the Four Horsemen retrospective over at TT Underground, February 11th through the 14th, 91st 2nd Avenue in New York. New York, we'll talk more about that as we get closer.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that next week. On DVD this week, Robert Rodriguez's Machete. I picked that up on Blu-ray, as well as Backdraft, the anniversary edition of Backdraft.
Also, Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends, the complete series. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 8, the complete motion comic, out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Moving into comic books.
Yes, Green Hornet, number 12. And Green Hornet Blood Ties, number 3 from Dynamite. Shut up. DC Doom Patrol, number 18, as well as Batman Beyond, number 1. We also mentioned... The Dark Knight started by David Finch last week. So
and check the that out. And the Vork one shot also available by Dark Horse. So check that out.
Also, we mentioned the Batman Arkham Asylum black and white piece is out. Limited edition of 5,000. Sculpted by Dave Cortez. Very well job. Very good job at that.
Right.
Finally, tonight we did a nice, big, hunky section on Tron and everything Tron, from Tonner dolls to Spin Masters, role play accessories, action figures, and so on and so forth. Tron not going away, so if you're not on board, you need to get on board. Check it out. I think the Blu-ray of the original film rumored to be coming out the same time as Legacy.
Nice.
That's what I keep hearing, so okay. Hopefully that'll be true. And with that, OG?
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, including some of our live from Studio V's. Hopefully some more of those coming down the pipeline very, very soon. You can find us over at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Twitter.com/BKGeekStuff or at BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG if you want to follow me. Don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail.
425-920-6050. That is an excellent way to get a hold of us here at the show. Make a comment, ask a question. You might hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. It's also an excellent opportunity to participate in our Doctor Who contest that's currently been extended for an additional week. So let's say the deadline on this, we didn't give that earlier, but let's say the deadline on this is going to be January 12th at 4 p.m. That's
right.
January 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is the deadline to enter the Doctor Who contest. And congratulations, of course, to our contest winner from the Star Wars Visions book contest. And I think that might be it.
That is it. And with that, OG, I will end this podcast, as we end all podcasts, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.